Today on Older and Wiser.
What's more important, how old you are or how old you feel? We'll tell you what the scientists say.
Also, we'll look at why the road to marriage is taking a lot longer these days. Plus, we'll survey what happens when you drink too much, then shop online.
Also, the fast food chains Americans dislike the most. We've got the list.
Stick around. You're listening to Older and Wiser.
Hey, folks, welcome to Older and Wiser. This week's top story comes to us from Time Magazine, and I thought it was really kind of interesting. This new study suggests that feeling younger may actually help you live to be older. Mm-hmm. Now, if this is true, then we just need to set our minds in the right way so that we're feeling younger, right?
Yes, and make sure we have enough money to do it.
So let me ask you today, how old do you feel inside if you didn't know how old you were?
Oh, God. I don't know if it feels like a number. Okay.
Well, pick a number. I need you to pick a number.
Well, I don't know. I feel like I'm in my 60s. But I am in my 60s.
You are in your 60s.
Not okay. For long.
So maybe this is one of those days where you're just feeling your age, you know? Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this earlier. I think I feel today, I feel okay. I feel about 52.
See, how do you feel that? How do you feel 52? How do you know you don't feel 53 or 51?
Well, I'm doing a bit of an estimation for sure.
Okay.
According to this survey also, those who felt in control of their lives were more likely to feel younger. In other words, if someone's taking care of you and doing everything for you and you haven't many decisions to make, then you're more likely to feel older. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I think there's a direct correlation. I really do. I think people who feel in control and are happy and feel as if their lives are going the way they want, provided they don't want the moon, mm-hmm. I think those people probably do feel younger. You know, I think you can get overwhelmed by things, and I think the overwhelm makes you tired, and if you're tired all the time, it makes you feel older.
Do you feel older on certain days? Because I definitely have days when I wake up and I feel 80.
Yes, and I think those days can be days when, you have the aches and pains with, it could be something with arthritis or older bones or whatever with the weather. Sometimes with the weather that happens.
They didn't really take into consideration here people's physical health, because I do believe that if you are feeling physically bad, that you're going to feel older and it's going to be harder to kind of summon up that youngness in yourself.
That may be. Also, if you feel helpless, if your physical problems mean that you need, like you were mentioning, help from people, from others, then you're going to feel older probably. I would think that all makes sense, I think. I don't know. Why did they do this survey?
I don't know.
Are they restating the obvious here?
In some respects, it is true. 91% of those in the study reported feeling younger than their chronological age. So overall, I guess most of us probably tend to feel younger than we actually are, which is a good sign, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And the good news is that feeling younger than your actual age has been linked to a lower dementia risk, which is good. So
I would imagine it probably improves your health at least minimally overall.
Okay, I'm 52. You're 68.
69,
I mean,
actually.
Only in our minds.
Okay, yes, right.
Okay, moving on. Our next topic comes to us from Bustle.com. You know, that's your favorite website, I know, Bustle.com.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Bustle.com?
No, I have not heard of Bustle.com.
Me neither. But here's the headline from them. Americans' drunk shopping habits are more expensive than you think, according to a new survey. I'm sure you can relate to this one, Susan. This is drunk shopping where you go online to QVC or Amazon.com and you've had a couple of glasses of wine and you're feeling a little happy.
How much do you think I'm drinking?
I have no idea.
I drink very little.
Have you ever done it? Have you ever had a couple
of
glasses?
Have I ever had a glass of wine?
And then go on QVC?
Yes, but I don't think it's been like, I'm going to sit down, have a few glasses, knock a few back, and then go and shop until I drop. And the truth is, you can the next day, usually, if you do it fast enough, or even the next hour, if you sober up or go, what the heck did I do? I bought a what? Yeah. You usually cancel the order.
They surveyed around 1,000 people who had reported buying something off Amazon after a wild night out. Okay, I don't know. First of all, where do you get 1,000 people who bought something off Amazon after a wild night out? I don't even know where you get those people, but let's say they got
them. I don't even know where you get the wild night out.
I don't know where you got these people. But let's say you could get them, according to the survey. They say, of those people, they surmise that Americans spend around $30 billion shopping online while drunk.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe this is true. It just seems like some possible faulty test data. I could be wrong here.
I don't know. Alcohol does impair judgment. Just saying.
NBC News, on a separate survey, they say that the average American buys nearly $500 worth of extra stuff per year when tipsy, when having had a few cocktails. So, okay. Now, here's the weird part. According to this survey, the type of alcohol that you drink influences how much you spend.
Mm.
This doesn't make any sense to me at all, but it says here, whiskey drinkers spend the least, while gin drinkers spend the most. What is that about?
I don't know. The only thing I can think of is maybe whiskey drinkers pass out sooner and they can't get to the computer or even find their phone to push, you know, the right app and push the button. Or, I don't know, because I don't drink – I drink neither gin nor whiskey. Once in a while I have a little vodka, and usually it's wine for me. So I don't know why they would – gin. That doesn't even make sense.
Well, what about this? What if it's a man-woman thing? What if whiskey drinkers are predominantly men and gin
and
drinkers
gin
are predominantly women and women
that
do more spending?
Might be the case. I don't know, you know. But I mean, but the thing is, the next day, you know, common sense can kick in with the hangover, perhaps. And you might say, oh, what did I do? And you can make a phone call. In most cases, they have this built in where they can say, sure, we can cancel the item.
Buyer's remorse for those who've been drinking. There
yeah.
should be a button just for that. Just for
yeah.
that. Yeah.
I'm going to place this order now, but know that it is influenced. It's like shopping under the influence. SUI. That's it.
There you go. Okay, moving on to our next topic today. Here's the headline. Survey reveals how long couples date before getting married. Mm-hmm. It also reveals some other interesting statistics. The average age of a woman getting married in 1971 was 22 years old.
Uh-huh.
A man in 1971, 24. That was about when we were graduating from high school. It was about, you know, I
24 for the guy.
24 for the guy, 22 for the girl. I assumed we were pretty close to that today, maybe a little bit older, but no, much older.
No, this didn't surprise me. And you've got daughters, so I'm curious to know what you think about all of this, because I do have nieces and I have a niece and I have goddaughters, and the 30.8 years of an average age for a woman getting married now does not surprise me at all. Most of the young women I know who are in my life, either by relationships or good friends' daughters, all got married in their 30s, not their 20s.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Almost 31 years old for women and 30,
no, you know,
almost 33 for men. It's
well,
really
let me tell
a different
you why.
World.
A lot of it, I'm sure, and they didn't say this to me specifically, but you could see it playing out in their lives if you stayed in touch with them. They are college graduate. They went to college and they are pursuing careers. You want to try out and see what it is you studied for. You want to do it. And secondly, you got to pay off the darn loan from college.
This survey was done by a website called Bridebook. It's a wedding planning app in the UK, and they surveyed about 4,000 people, recently married couples. And they had some other interesting statistics here that says that people date on the average of 5 years before they say, I do. Imagine,
yeah.
Is that right? 5 years you're dating before you say, I do. That's interesting.
Well, but part of that, they say also, is, isn't it they live together for part of that time?
That's another interesting statistic. The average couple now dates for 17 months before moving in together, and then they lived together for an average of 22 months before getting engaged.
See, I have to tell you, quite honestly, I think those are encouraging numbers.
Encouraging numbers.
Let me tell you why.
I agree with you.
I think living together, I remember when you and I were in our 20s, if we had told our parents we were going to live with somebody or we were moving in with somebody, you know, our parents, one of our parents or relatives would probably go jump off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Well, there's a word for it. Living in sin.
Sin, right. Okay. And that's not so much anymore. I mean, yes, there are, you know, I'm Catholic and the Catholic religion probably doesn't say go move in with each other. I know they don't for a fact. But you know what? I think that if you live together, it's not necessarily
really
about the sex. You know what it is? It's about, oh my gosh, he's still leaving the cap off the toothpaste. Mm-hmm. It's driving me crazy. Or she keeps leaving her dirty dishes on the coffee table, and why doesn't she take them to the sink and rinse them off? And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, the sex is fine. I mean, that's all hot and wonderful in the beginning and everything. But then it's the nitty-gritty stuff that you have to get through the average day with for a lot of years. And if you can't live with somebody at the beginning, what do you think? It's going to get better?
I think overall, Susan, I think we should be encouraged by the results of this survey.
I do too.
People are growing up. They're more mature. They understand, you know, what it takes to put in to be prepared for that long haul of a marriage ahead. And
my guess would be that if you get married later, you are more grown up, you know what you want and what you don't want, what you can live with and what you cannot, and perhaps you've chosen better along the way before you tie the knot. And the truth is, it's time when you're ready, and when you're ready, usually should be involved with how grown up you are, and that takes time.
It takes time. Yeah, I think a lot of people get married because they feel the pressure and they feel like it is time to do it.
When I got married, I was 25 years old, and I was one of the last in my group of girlfriends to get married. And I thought, oh boy, I'm 25. Now I think, look back on that, and I think, gosh, I was young.
You were young. It's time for us to move on to our last and final survey. It comes to us from DataCentral, a consumer research brand. These are the 15 least popular fast food restaurants in America. Okay, here's number 15. We'll count up the list from number 15 up.
I have to tell you now, full disclosure.
I know some of you don't eat. You don't eat a lot.
From most of these, but if you asked me when the last time I was in a fast food restaurant was, I could not give you a date.
I know, but let's see if we can't reach back into your memory banks.
Go ahead.
We'll have some reaction here. Okay, number 15, A&W. First of all, you do remember the root beer, I'm sure.
Of course. And that I would think that would be, you know, a positive thing. Root beer floats. That's kind of an old-fashioned thing. And I did see something. I think I saw their menu somewhere at one point not too long ago. And their menu actually had some old-fashioned kinds of things like the root beer float. And A&W root beer was a decent product, as I recall. I don't drink it now.
Oh, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's fine. Just not one of the favorites. Number 14, Auntie Anne's. I've never heard of it. It's probably back east somewhere.
It's about pretzels, isn't it? Auntie Anne's does a lot of pretzels, okay.
Quiznos, it was number 13. Now, I actually sort of like Quiznos, but that's okay. Number 12, Denny's.
Denny's made a good breakfast last time I was there, and they're also good if you're traveling. If you're doing a road trip, if you're going from one state to another to visit a relative and you're not flying and you're seeing America first or some of it, Denny's is a good place to stop for
like
a good full breakfast.
Yeah, but don't you kind of feel like Denny's is kind of rough around the edges now? I mean, doesn't it feel a little bit like they were big in the 70s, but they never changed the decor? You know, it's kind of like you're going to your grandma's house and it isn't old and cute because it's meant to be. It's just tired.
Bob,
could I be wrong?
Bob,
how often
do you go to fast food restaurants?
The last time I was in a Denny's, the menu, of course, is all pictures, and you know, it seemed to me, if I'm not mistaken, there was like still some remnants of food on the menu from the people who had it before me. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too critical of Denny's. It just seems like
a
tired
chain. Now, to me,
chain.
The test would be in the taste of the food.
That's right.
Number, but I haven't been there lately, as I mentioned. But go ahead.
Number 11, Hardee's. That's the place that makes the roast beef sandwiches, I believe.
Oh, right? I think I had – no, didn't have it. Go ahead.
Number 10, Hooters.
Oh, please.
Have you ever been to a Hooters?
Oh, no.
I've only been to a Hooters once.
Uh-huh.
It was
and
a
you
lunch.
Went there for the food?
Totally. I mean,
I was there with a group of other people,
And it was I can't remember who all was there, but it was for you know, it was during lunch. It was a lunch thing, and it was the closest restaurant, so we went to Hooters. Yeah, it's an odd throwback.
Aren't they known for their waitresses that are, let's say, well endowed?
Yeah, that's the general idea.
Yeah.
I mean, and I just think the whole idea of that, going to a restaurant, because you feel an obligation
to ogle the ladies,
exactly.
Yeah, forget it. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a dated thing. I don't know who's there now. The guys that must be there must be in their 70s or 80s, don't you think? Maybe?
I think it's also families go there. I think it's the kind of thing, it's just this weird mix of people in this very uncomfortable concept. I don't get it.
Have they changed what they are using for in terms of what they're the people who wait the tables, the young ladies who wait the tables or older ladies who wait the tables, or have they changed what they have to wear?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, I would say it's been 10 years since I've gone there, so I don't remember. But it was just, I mean, they weren't overly sexualized. They were wearing, you know, tank tops and shorts. Mm-hmm. But still, it's a little, I don't know. A weird concept.
Just say it's not an outfit I wear to church every week, but go ahead.
Surprising they're still in business. Number nine, Jimmy John's. Never heard of it.
Don't know that one. Go ahead.
Number eight, Sbarro. Seen it. No. Haven't eaten there.
Same here.
Number seven, TGI Fridays.
Used to like that. The food was good. Mm. You know, what it is now, I don't know. Again.
Buffalo Wild Wings was number six.
Nope.
Number five, Burger King.
Don't kill the Whopper. Nope.
Number four, Carl's Jr. Now, I will say this about Carl's Jr. I love their regular hamburger.
You know, I was going to ask you about that because every now and then I see something. For some reason, that looks like it's probably a decent hamburger.
I mean, it's probably not good for you. I don't know what they put on it. It's probably got stuff you shouldn't eat. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. The bottom line is it tastes like it just came off a charcoal grill in someone's backyard. Admittedly, it's a little thin piece of meat, you know, and it's only like $1.99 or something like that. It was a very inexpensive hamburger that tastes so delicious that I will swing through the drive-thru every year or so and just get one. Mm-hmm.
Just for fun.
Number three, Jack in the Box.
I don't think I've ever been to a Jack in the Box, to tell you the truth.
Number two, Johnny Rockets. Now, these are located in more urban locations, and they have that theme of the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that whole thing is just tired. Do you think that's tired? The 50s?
I don't know.
Theme?
Maybe. Or the people who would be nostalgic for the 50s have been told by their doctors they have to start eating, you know, celery and not french fries.
Only 31% of customers surveyed would eat at Johnny Rockets because it was Johnny Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of sad because really that means the rest of them would just as soon walk on up the street to someplace else. Mm-hmm. And here's the shocker, and why we left number one for last. The least popular fast food restaurant in America is McDonald's.
I can't believe that. I would think that was the most popular.
Only 28% of people surveyed said they would eat here because of the brand.
Wow.
So, that means that people typically visit the Golden Arches out of pure convenience. They eat there because it's close, it's fast.
There's a lot of them, yeah, they're around. And you can drive through, which you can do on a number of these places, I'm sure. But driving through is easy. You don't have to get out of the car. All of that is appealing, and I'm sure people go, you know, let's do it. That's it.
All right.
I get it, you know.
Well, that'll do it for another episode of Older and Wiser. We are so glad you could be with us.
Visit olderandwiser.com for your daily dose of news, videos, and celebrity Twitter. I'm Susan Sikora.
And I'm Bob Bates. See you next time.